It'll take you 10 minutes to read this article. And in fact, there are loads of extras of those. If you've lost yours at home, take one on the way out. And I read it on the plane on the way back, and I was very impressed. I mean, what a wonderful point he makes. It's so central to missions, that it's the spreading of the Word of God. That is our central mission. Deed mission is important, and showing compassion to people. But what we don't want to do is ever leave them with the impression that feeding them and clothing them is our ultimate goal. It's not. To make them comfortable in this world is important when and where we may have ability to do that. But that's not why we're on the mission field. We're on the mission field because people are destined for hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's always been the motive. And we need to be very careful not to get that confused with the kind of humanitarian aid, which is the only gospel the world has. We've got to help people understand how these things differ. Okay, now as far as the public preaching, I think it does need to be appreciated that what Paul, we need to send missionaries who are ministers of the Word of God. I understand that in a certain sister denomination, I have to continue to remember this is on tape, that a certain sister denomination is now more and more not sending missionaries, ministers of the Word, onto the foreign field, because they said the director of this particular missions board said ministers bring too much theological baggage with them. You know, I understand where that may be a problem. If you've got a guy that's a real academic, okay, and he doesn't know how to communicate to average people, then I could see that being a legitimate criticism. But that's not, unfortunately, what that person was saying. And we want to bring theological baggage. If we don't have our bags packed with theology, why on earth go to the mission field? Now, it's got to be biblical theology, and we've got to send those who are gifted and trained to communicate the Word of God in public. And that is not every person, brothers. We need to be, it's not to say that there are not non-ordained people that can be sent to the mission field. We do that. But our central mission is to preach the gospel and to teach others to preach the gospel. So a lot of what we've done, because we're limited in terms of our personnel, is to start seminaries. And a seminary is simply training men to go out and start churches. So it's a sort of an intermediate stage. And we have contributed to the Korean church, for example. For a church our size, we've contributed to millions of Korean Presbyterians through theological education, training preachers to go out and preach. So if you've only got one person that can go to a particular field, should he go out and do all the preaching? Well, he should do some. But the best thing he could do is train a dozen other preachers, and that will reach an enormous number of people in comparison to what the one man can do. On the other hand, you take a guy like Bruce Hunt, and this guy tramped from Korean village to Korean village where no one else wanted to go, on foot, Bible in one pocket, a bunch of tracts in the other. And, you know, there's a little bit of the sort of fundamentalist model where you knock on doors, but he was a real Calvinist, and he just went and preached in every little town. And hundreds and thousands of people were converted through that single ministry. He was sort of the George Whitfield of Korea. And the Korean Pentecost shows the enormous revival that God brought through a single man. Hardly anyone knows who Bruce Hunt is here. In Korea, he is as more famous than Billy Graham. And just little ordinary OPC guy. There's nothing fancy about Bruce Hunt. His zeal to spread the gospel as a minister of the Word of God, called and sent to do that very thing, that should be a model of what missions is for us. Now, that's not to take away the task of the everyday Christian. Every Christian is to be ready to make an answer, to give an answer, to tell what the Lord Jesus has done for sinners, and then as a subsidiary thing, to give their personal testimony. Usually personal testimony is the whole of witnessing in the fundamentalist circles, but we don't want to, in reacting to that, take away the value of it in its place. In fact, I think like a men's prayer breakfast is also a good place to do that, just to encourage one another. But there is a place for personal testimony, but it's a supplement to the testimony that God has sent his son to die for sinners, and you need to repent and believe the gospel. It may also be a way of gaining an interest in hearing the gospel by telling what the Lord has done for you. But just telling them what he's done for you is not preaching the gospel. Each person needs to be ready to do that, and we realize that not everyone is going to have the same number of people available to them. We realize that not everyone is as bold as some others. I like knocking on strangers' doors and trying to engage them in conversation, though I have serious reservations about how effective that is in this area, but I like doing that. Most people do not like doing that, and I am not going to ever, and we as a session should never lay a guilt trip on others for not being door knockers. In fact, in fundamentalism, I think it's Thursday night is the sacred night, usually. You go out in teams knocking on doors, and the really spiritual people are out there knocking on doors, passing out tracts, and I think it's a mistake to push everyone into that mold. But I do think everyone ought to be praying. If every Christian were to pray for just one other person that's not a believer that they have regular contact with, imagine the power of those prayers. I think we tend to pray in general and once in a while for a few people that we know, but I think we ought to focus on a couple people right near to us and be praying on a regular basis and looking for opportunities to tell them about the Lord. And that basically, next week we get into the very elder-specific stuff. We start looking at the qualifications of an elder. We'll talk about the task, the job description of an elder in real detail. Talk about how an elder works with in the session, in the group of men called a session, on a leadership team, and we'll get down to some of that nitty-gritty. Questions on anything that we've covered up to this point? Do you have a question, George? You'll think of it when you're driving back up to home. Yeah. Oh yes, we're told that we're going to actually judge angels. Remember, Paul chides the Corinthians, says, you know, you have to go to secular court over these problems, and don't you know you're going to judge angels someday, so can't you solve this stuff? So yes, we will. I think that we will be, and it's, you know, the details of how that's going to happen, I don't know, but we're going to be.
Because in a real sense, being united with Christ, we stand on his side of the bench with him as the judge of the world. Well, that's right. Well, they actually executed that judgment. Yeah. And there's several examples of that. Did you remember, George? Yeah. The older I get, if I don't write stuff down, it's probably going on forever. Or it'll come to you when it's too late. Good.
Hope in area.
That's something that we could do as, you know, and be part of in terms of a presbytery effort, because we have our church in North Andover is right there too. They're even closer than we are to it. I know when we used to, as a... Yes, no, I think it's an excellent idea though, George, and we could definitely put feet on that at some point in the future. But that's part of what I mean by missions consciousness. And, you know, just bringing ideas like that up and getting people to think about what we can do, it keeps... You know, it's like the general principle of the Christian life. It keeps our eyes off just ourselves. You know, it's not how can we get this to be a beautiful building and then we can have our worship, and if we get enough people, we can pay the budget and make the budget and, hey, we'll be happy. No, we've always got a purpose that's larger than ourselves. So that's the kind of thinking that we want to foster.